introduce you to. We have gotten to be really good friends, and she's such a beautiful, beautiful soul. Susan Rothfuss is a speaker, a teacher, and an author. She's written a beautiful book called Breathing Through Wisdom, and we're always happy to have her back here with us to share her wisdom. So let's give her a warm welcome. Thank you.
I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad each of one of you have joined us this evening. I want to begin with just a short paragraph before we go right into the meditation. And it begins with a question, and I want you to answer the question to yourself as I continue to talk and as we go into the meditation. What would you like to let go of in your life? Does an answer immediately come to mind? For some of us, we may say, well, that's easy. But for others of us, it's not that easy. There are a number of reasons letting go of something is challenging, even if it is your choice to let it go. Just as difficult is answering the question, what would you like more of in your life? Adding something may mean change, hard work, unknown territory. But the biggest challenge, no matter which question you answer, may be identifying what you need to let go of before you can add or take away what you want more or less of. Our lives can be so full, we have little or no room to allow for what we truly desire. I'd like you to take a moment or two to think of what you yearn for in your life that seems to be elusive. Let's go within for a few moments, making room in your mind to open space. Imagine the opportunity to experience the expansiveness of emptiness. If you're comfortable with closing your eyes, it may help calm your mind. If you like to bow your head, you may feel your body relax. And if you are comfortable, take a deep breath in through your nose slowly and breathe out through your mouth. One more time, breathe in. And out. Is there something that you would like to leave behind in your life? Maybe it's a fear that stops you from doing what you would love. Maybe it's something you need to leave by the side of the road. Breathe in. Breathe out. Picture how making that change would look in your life. Create a vision as you live each day, letting go of whatever that thing is. Watch it drift off. How would letting go improve your life? Give yourself permission to just believe it's possible. Picture the magic of the universe agreeing with what you want. Deep breath in. You're envisioning the possibility. Deep breath out. Suspend your disbelief. How would your life be different if only? Deep breath in. Slowly breathe out. You can come back to this thought of choosing what to let go anytime. But for now, I'm going to ask you to come back to our group by taking a deep breath in and blow it out. Wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes and join us. There are so many things we can want in this world, and some of them are worth making room for. I have to get this all hooked in because I'm going to try something new tonight. So, when it's time to clean the closet or the basement, I like to begin with the end in mind. Actually, I do that with almost everything I do. I like to begin with the end in mind so I know where I'm going. If I have a vision of what I want it to look like or feel like or be once I've invested the work that I think it will take to get the job done, I always know part of the task is to divest myself of the things or feelings or attitudes that I no longer need, no one else wants, or something that no longer enhances my life by being in our home or in my mind or in my heart. This part of the process is where I often have the most trouble, deciding does it stay or does it go? What if I need this thing later? What if I replace it and the replacement doesn't work as well as the original thing? Or what if somebody else needs it later and I don't have it any longer and then I can't help them? Oh, my mind goes in circles. It's impossible to know what the answers are to those questions. And it really slows me down in the process of that vision that I have in my mind's eye. Until we moved from Troy to Holt, I could always put it in the basement. What does that mean? Well, we lived in a colonial house, a two-story, and so we had the first floor and the second floor, and I tried to make sure everything was just as it should be, and my husband, who is a star as far as I'm concerned, helped a lot with that because I'm the clean one and he's the neat one. But when it came to getting rid of something, or getting something new and needing to put something else away, I could always put it in the basement because the basement was unfinished. And when we were ready to move, we contacted the real estate agent, and she made an appointment to come over and look at the house. And she went through the first floor, and she really appreciated the fact that we had updated the kitchen, remodeled the kitchen, and the baths were all updated. Upstairs, the master bedroom had been a bonus room, and we had finished that. And she said, "This is a lovely home, and there isn't anything that you need to do differently, except, of course, remove everything from the counters and leave one little Kleenex box out so it looks like nobody lives here." And I hadn't really expected that. I'd expected that there would be quite a list. And I looked at her and I said, "But you haven't looked at the basement." Well, I won't bore you with all of the details of her response when she went down in the basement and saw the shelves that my husband had carefully built all around the unfinished basement. And I don't mean one shelf, I mean shelves. And his tools, which were vast, a vast array of he would say, necessary tools. And the laundry was down there, and the water heater, all the utilities, and boxes on the shelves, floor to ceiling. And she said, "You have a little work to do down here. You'll need to get rid of all the boxes. Michael's tools can stay, but they need to be tidied up." And I said, "Well, what about the shelves?" "Oh, the shelves are fine." Thank goodness they were built in. "But you can only have about 3 suitcases on the shelves." And that meant I had a lot of pitching to do or hiding these boxes someplace else. And so the work began. I realized that there was another part of the job to moving that I had never known about and had never thought about. And this was only about my 10th move. But it was only the second house that I'd sold, and it was the first house that I was living in while I was trying to sell it. And that is that I needed to make room for the people who were going to be coming through to look at the house so that they could imagine they lived in the house, not that we lived in the house. And so I began to learn about making room. We'd lived in the house for 28 years, and so that was quite a process, but now I had a vision. I could see the house as I wanted it to look when the first potential buyers arrived. To achieve that vision, I developed a process. And when I got stuck on those earlier questions, remember those earlier questions? What if I need this thing later? What if I buy something new and I get rid of this and the next thing doesn't work as well as the first thing, the old thing? And what if someone else needs it and I could have helped out and now I can't? Well, I had to put those aside and I had a new question. And my new question was, and I swear to you, this was the question I asked myself with each thing that I got rid of. If I have to carry this thing on my back, walking from Troy to Holt, would I want to keep it? And believe me, when you ask yourself a question like that seriously, and your knee hurts all the time, you don't want to carry a lot of stuff. More often than not, the answer was no, and I was able to let go of it easily after a lifetime of keeping things, because that is what my family did. I gave myself permission to let them go. The process worked so well, we sold the house in a week at over the asking price, and I'm not sure if our real estate agent knew what a life lesson she taught me. So how does this relate to you? Do you yearn for a kind of change in your life? Maybe for a shift in a relationship or a friend who would go to the movies with you? And maybe even after be in soulful conversation? Or laugh out loud with you even when no one else is laughing? Maybe it's a physical change you yearn for, a change in attitude about something you simply can't change. Because if it's death or disease, the only thing that you can do sometimes is to change your attitude. And you can change it. Do you want more of something or less of something going on in your life? Simply wishing something would change in your life experience is common for most people. The law of attraction encourages us to think about what we would like because that helps create new neural pathways, and science is continuing to prove that more and more, which are part of creating change in our lives. I agree with that, and I know most of you do too. But at times, there are active steps we need to take. Just thinking may not be enough. Believe it or not, one of those steps is exactly the opposite of what you might be doing. Maybe the universe knows something that you're not aware of. Well, actually, we can be pretty sure the universe knows a lot that we're not aware of. You simply don't have room in your life for what you desire. How can that be? Well, let me ask, are you a busy person? Are you a busy person? Are you a busy person? I bet everybody, I see a lot of head shaking, yes. Well, that's pretty common. Because some of us are happiest when we're really busy and we feel like we get a lot more accomplished than people who aren't busy. And sometimes we even feel a little more important than the people we think aren't busy because we're getting so much done. But maybe the problem is that we're busy rushing around from one appointment to the next appointment, to a task, to a social event. In fact, we're so busy, we don't have time to do one more thing. Click. There it is. We don't have time to do one more thing. There's no room to love one more person. There's no room on our calendar to add one more event that might be life-changing. Are you a busy person? When we don't have time or space or the money or the opportunity or the strength to do whatever it is we really want to do or have or be, we just keep wishing. Today, that's what I'm focusing on. Maybe we don't have what we truly want because we haven't made room for it in our lives. So before we can have the love of our lives, maybe we need to look at the relationships we do have or the relationships we don't have that we keep holding on to. Maybe our children are grown and gone, but we would really like to have them in our life every day, and yet they have lives of their own. Maybe a spouse has left, and we continue to grieve that loss for years. All of that takes up bandwidth in our lives. Maybe we need to look at the relationships we have and have had and ask ourselves an important question. In what way is this person or thing or attitude, you fill in the blank, bringing me closer to what I yearn for? In what way is this person or thing or attitude bringing me closer to what I yearn for? If the answer is, it isn't bringing me closer, then it may be time to look carefully at our own focus and the choices we are making. I would never have believed that my first husband's leaving me could make room for the love of my life. I thought I was married to the love of my life. Little did I know. I would never, ever have believed that it could be better. Could it be possible that all that anxiety you may feel about a job or money might be taking up so much of your bandwidth that there's no room for abundance to enter your life? 2 months ago, a friend from Arizona and I were talking on Skype, and she's also a writer, and she asked me to check out an online publication called Thrive After 50. She had recently begun to submit articles to them and was being paid for each one she sent in. She really thought I'd be a good writer for them, and I took down all the contact information she offered to reach the editor, and then I didn't act on it. I convinced myself I didn't want to write for someone else, when in reality I was afraid my writing would be rejected. Last week, when I met her for breakfast here in Michigan, because she traveled from Arizona to Michigan, she asked, "Have you contacted Glenn about Thrive After 50?" And I answered honestly, I had not. I didn't explain why, because I wasn't certain then. While we were sitting in the restaurant, she created an email of introduction for Glenn to meet me and told him why she thought it was important. Within 24 hours, he contacted me. Within another 24 hours, I responded and shared why I thought I would be a good fit for his publication, one of the questions he asked me, and bravely told him I was up to my eyeballs preparing for this talk, and I would be back in touch with him with maybe one or two articles next week. He responded within 24 hours, thanking me for the information I had given him. I did offer the information I did offer and is looking forward to learning more, and so am I. In this case, I needed to clear out the fear of rejection and step up to a new opportunity. Do any of you have an emotion in your life that you need to clear out that would allow you to have more room to be able to receive what it is you're wishing for? I shocked myself because I'd made room to entertain the notion that I might write for his publication. I couldn't or wouldn't have been in that place if two things hadn't happened. My friend introducing us, and that is the universe conspiring for my highest and best good, as it does for all of us, and me clearing a part of my psyche that wouldn't allow me to entertain the idea or the notion that I could write for someone. I was making room from the first moment I heard the suggestion, but I was standing in my own way until I decided to move forward. My focus changed from not wanting to write out of fear to envisioning what it would feel like to have that byline in an online publication. As I look back over many years, I realize that making room has been necessary time after time to allow something good to come into my life. Additionally, shifting my expectations helps the process along. When I hear a person describe the physical characteristics of their perfect partner, I internally roll my eyes. Okay, here we go again. When I met the man who is the love of my life, he looked nothing like what I might have imagined. I know that because I had made a list of the kind of man I was looking for. I listed qualities in the relationship and the person, not physical characteristics. I knew what was important to me. I didn't need to go through that physical envisioning of who it might be. For the 5 years before I met him, I'd been cleaning the shelf in my mind and heart to make room for a glorious relationship. And then there it was, 32 years ago. I did a lot of letting go and adding to my life during those 5 years. But if I had created a physical description, I might have completely missed him. Maybe the list or vision you're holding in your mind's eye is not what you really want. Maybe the list or vision you are holding in your mind's eye needs to be shifted. Ask yourself, what do I need to let go of to make room for, again, fill in the blank? Be really honest with yourself about what you may be blocking because of your own beliefs or behaviors. You may find, once you clear those blocks, that you've made room for exactly what you want. It's time to go back to the drawing board and ask yourself, why do I want that job? That person, more abundance, less to do, that experience. You get to ask the questions, and I encourage you to keep asking questions until you find the one that really resonates with you. Because asking those questions will lead you to the clarity and clean your basement to make room in your life. Do you need more money to feel safe for that new car? Did the light go off? I encourage you to keep asking questions until you find one that really resonates with you. The question has to resonate with you, not just the answer, because asking those questions will lead you to clean your own basement and make room in your life. Do you need more money to feel safe for that new car? Do you tend to run thought loops in your head, warning you of everything that can go wrong, or that you aren't lovable? That could be a good place to begin to make room for what you really want. Can you imagine adopting an attitude of feeling safe wherever you go? When you catch yourself worrying about safety issues or your ability to do something, stop yourself with a reality check. If you're in a familiar situation, you can always say to yourself, I've been here 1,000 times. I know I'm safe. Replace the old loop of fear and anxiety with one that reflects what you really want, confidence that you are safe. Remember the law of attraction? We get what we focus on. Make room for what you want by clearing out what you don't want. When someone comes up to you and engages you in conversation, can you enjoy the opportunity to get to know someone new? Make room in your life to expand your idea of what's possible. I invite you to make room for something new, different, wonderful, longed for, and surprising, in a good way, to enter your life. So let's take a few minutes to explore how that happens. And I'd like to do that. How many of you have heard the parable, the flying trapeze? Raise your hand if you've heard it. Oh, good, I love to introduce new things. So this person called Dan, D-A-N-A-N-N, Dan-N Perry, wrote a parable called the flying trapeze. Take about 3 minutes to read, 3 or 4 minutes. Sometimes I feel my life is a series of trapeze swings. I'm either hanging on to the bar, swinging along, or, for a few moments, I'm hurtling across space between the trapeze bars. That always puts my heart going like this when I see that part happen. Mostly I spend my time hanging on for dear life to the trapeze bar of the moment. It carries me along to at a certain steady rate of swing, and I have the feeling that I'm in control. I know most of the right answers, and even most of the right questions, and even some of the right answers. But once in a while, as I'm merrily or not so merrily swinging along, I look ahead of me into the distance, and what do I see? I see another trapeze bar looking at me. It's empty, and I know this new bar has my name on it. It's my next step, my growth, my aliveness coming to get me. In my heart of hearts, I know that for me to grow, I must release my grip on the present well-known bar to move on to the new one. Each time it happens, I pray that I won't have to grab the new one, but deep down I know that I must totally release my grasp on the old bar. And for some moments in time, I must hurtle across space before I can grab the new bar. Each time I'm filled with terror, it doesn't even matter that in all my previous hurdles, I've always made it. Each time I'm afraid I will miss, that I'll be crushed on unseen rocks in the bottomless basin between the bars. But I do it anyway. I must. Perhaps this is the essence of what the mystics call faith. No guarantees, no net, no insurance. But I do it anyway because somehow to keep hanging on to that old bar, it's no longer an option. And so for an eternity that can last a microsecond or a thousand lifetimes, I soar across the dark void of the past is over and the future is not yet here. And it's called transition. I've come to believe that it is the only place that real change occurs. I've noticed that in our culture, this transition zone is looked upon as a no thing, a no place between places. Sure, the old trapeze bar was real and the new one comes towards me. Well, I hope that one's real too. But the void in between, that's just scary, confusing, disorienting nowhere that must be broken through as fast as unconsciously as possible. What a shame. I have a sneaking suspicion that the transition zone is the only real thing and the bars are illusions we dream up to not notice the void. Yes, with all the fear of being out of control that can accompany transitions, they are still the most alive, growth-filled, passionate moments in our lives. And so transformation of fear may have nothing to do with making fear go away, but rather with giving ourselves permission to hang out in the transition zone between trapeze bars, allowing ourselves to dwell in the only place where change really happens. It can be terrifying, but can also be enlightening. Hurtling through the world, we may just learn to fly. So that space between the bars is our opportunity to make room, to prepare for receiving what can be life-changing, life-saving, or just plain fun. And I encourage you to think about what bar you are currently hanging on to that prevents you from grabbing the bar coming toward you, because I can guarantee once you let go and make room in your life for something you yearn for, the universe will conspire to make sure it comes your way. Let it be so.
Thank you.